think it was 2 or 3 weeks into the pandemic last year that I first noticed them. I was at the supermarket checkout, and the little payment kiosk was wrapped in plastic wrap, as had happened quickly after things had locked down. But there was an array of buttons that showed up on the screen. Contribute to hunger relief. $1, $2, $5. And I just talked to somebody in town who'd lost his job. And I knew a lot of other neighbors were facing similar struggles. So I punched the button, and my grocery bill got a little bit higher that time. But maybe if a lot of other people did the same thing, who knows? It might make a difference. But I wasn't going to miss a few dollars on this grocery trip or the next one or the next one. It felt like a good thing to do, but it was hardly a risk. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. It was Tuesday in the week before Passover. It was 2 days after Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey in a festive procession. It was 3 days before he would be executed for blasphemy and sedition. And in between, in the few days in between those bookends, Jesus taught in the temple. He taught his disciples and anyone who would listen about God's kingdom and how far away it was from the religious leaders who ran things in this town. But now Jesus is taking a break, sitting across from one of the 13 trumpet-shaped collection boxes in the outer courtyard of the temple. It was an unremarkable moment during what would become an exceptionally remarkable week. Now, this collection went to support the work of the temple. This was not the poor box. Those offerings were collected separately. The money that went into these boxes that Jesus was watching kept the building in good repair. This money supported the priests and officials, and it made it possible for people to continue to bring their sacrificial offerings to this special place. Adult Jewish men had to pay a mandatory temple tax. But beyond that, additional donations were encouraged and appreciated, but not required. The folks Jesus saw making these lavish offerings were giving more than they had to. They probably felt good about their giving. They felt it was the right thing to do. And who's to say that they were wrong? But I wonder whether these gifts affected them any more than punching a button at the supermarket affected me. Did their gift represent life change, or was it simply spare change? We often talk about gifts changing the lives of those who receive them, but what about gifts that change givers? When was the last time you gave a gift that changed you, that forced you to take a look at your life and your neighbors and God differently? There's this guy I lived with, Amy too, before we moved here to New Jersey. And he was a brilliant guy. He was a law student. And he was also addicted to watching poker tournaments on TV. You know, the ones where people wear sunglasses and big hats so that you can't see their tells and see whether they're bluffing. So as he watched, he would kind of calculate the odds in his head. And then he'd offer commentary on how the players should bet. And I know next to nothing about poker, but I got a feel for the dynamics of betting as I watched with him. Things really change when a player goes all in. When a player is unable to keep up with the betting, they push their entire stake into the pot. And after that point, the player can't be bluffed because there's nothing more to risk. The game changes. Their fate is tied to whatever cards they happen to be holding, and this one risky decision changes everything, changes the course of play, at least for the player who makes the move. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins. She was a woman, so we know she didn't have to pay the temple tax. She gave because she wanted to. Two small copper coins that together were 1/64th of a laborer's daily wages. Think of it as like 90 cents in our money. She gave to support the work of the temple, to ensure that God would continue to be honored and worshiped there. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. All she had to live on." In the original Greek text, the word that it uses there is bios, meaning life. She's taken her life and put it in this box. It may be a small gift, but it's a big gift for her. Where is her next meal going to come from? Even one of those two coins might have bought her a little bread for supper, but now they're all gone. This is a woman who has gone all in, and the game has changed. There's no more shopping, no more making choices about how to spend money that isn't there anymore. From now on, if the woman receives food and shelter, it will be because her neighbors not only worship the God of Israel, but also follow God's law, which says widows and orphans and foreigners are to be protected and cared for. The woman's gift changed her in a way that the rich folks' gifts didn't change them. It put her in a position of trust and dependence with respect to God and the community that God had called into being. And so in the end, this story is not about the gift, it's about the giver. It isn't about two copper coins and what they can purchase. The woman in the gospel story gave not two copper coins, but, Jesus says, all she had to live on, or literally, her whole life. She traded the last bit of security she had, maybe just enough for a simple meal of bread, for what? Some interpreters say that they don't want to lift this woman up as a model of generosity. They say that Jesus lifted her up not as a hero, but as a tragic victim. After all, we just heard him lay into the religious establishment for its preening self-regard and for its corruption as it cheated and devoured the property of widows, just like this woman. So what do we do with her story? Do we lift her up as a model of generosity, or pity her as a dupe, someone of whom the whole corrupt establishment is unworthy, but someone whose goodness is ultimately swallowed up by that same system? I think it makes a difference that this story takes place during Holy Week. You see, when Jesus looks at this woman, someone who sacrificed her whole life for her people, it's a foreshadowing of the gift Jesus is planning to give on behalf of all of us. 3 days after Jesus pointed out the widow in the temple, he would go all in for us. He would give up his freedom, his security, his friends, his respectability, to be arrested, abandoned, and humiliated. He would give up even his precious, abiding feeling of God's presence. He would endure God's silence and absence on the cross. And he would give up his life to give new life to us. Not a people who were simply misguided or ignorant, but a people hopelessly tangled up inside, unable to recognize good, much less do it. And on Good Friday, from the cross, to all appearances, it seemed as though his gift was every bit as foolish and tragic as the widow's. But God raised him and gave his gift power to save all of us. When people go all in, when they go all in with their lives, it may look foolish or risky, but God has a way of blessing and multiplying what we offer. And that's why the gift isn't nearly so important as the trust and love of the one who gives it. She gave her whole life Jill Welter has begun to reach out to us about our pledges for the coming year. And while that's important, this gospel story wants us to step back and consider not just our gifts, not just the transactions or donations we offer, but to consider ourselves and what kind of givers we are. The poor widow gave her whole life in a reckless, passionate act of trust and sacrifice. And your gifts, in fact, all the time and energy you spend in church is just one small part of your whole life. What part of yourself have you been holding back? What would it take for you to go from spare change to life change? What would it look like for you to go all in for Jesus? How about this? How about we pick a day? Everybody can pick their own day, random stab at the calendar. And just make that whole day an offering to God. There's no need to make elaborate plans. Just go through your routine, whether it's work or school or gardening or reading or cooking or whatever, and just approach the time with the mantra, this is all for God. And you can say those words to yourself. Offer every action, no matter how insignificant. This is all for God. You're not doing anything new or different. You're just making yourself aware of the offering that you make all the time. How would that change the way you interact with the people in your life? How does it change the way you feel about your day? Maybe you could jot down some notes about what you were pleased to offer to God and what made you feel embarrassed or inadequate. What needs to change so that every part of your life can be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? What would it take for you to go all in? And how might your life be different if you did? Now, don't get me wrong. Your gifts matter to this congregation as well as the other organizations you choose to support. But our gospel lesson points us toward the bigger picture of a whole life offered to God. And what we pledge is important, an important part of that, but it's not the whole story. You see, stewardship is about loving God with all our heart, soul, and strength with nothing left over. We love God when we provide for the families God has given us. We love God when we deploy our resources in ways that build community with others rather than insulate us from one another's struggles. We love God when we tread lightly on the earth with our resources, when we're attentive to how our spending supports or suppresses the hopes of the poor in the developing world. We love God when we use our time purposefully, producing, caring, enjoying rest and beauty rather than destructively or wastefully. Stewardship is the ongoing struggle to be shaped into a giver like that widow, taking our whole life and making a living sacrifice out of it. It's about learning to go all in, to offer everything we have to the one who gave everything for us. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you never grow weary in your love for us. In Jesus Christ, you gave yourself for us. You went all in, holding nothing back. Teach us to offer our whole selves to you. Keep us conscious that every moment of our life is an offering, a response to your gift to us. Make us worthy givers so that with the poor widow who gave her last coins to the temple, we may learn how the game changes, how we find freedom and security when we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.